response.
Is your business struggling to be seen, not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
I think there has to be a limit. I heard him say that he wants to play till he's 40 years old. It's not like he's a one-trick pony. His defensive capabilities as a forward are very strong. But I think you get into tricky territory when you're probably paying top dollar for the back half of someone's career. That could bite you down the road. So it's not going to be an easy one, I don't think, for the player or for Kekalainen, this negotiation. But I think you have to set a limit. And I don't know if I'd go 8 figures on an AAV. I might do 9 point something. Can't overextend yourself.
Luke Fox of Sportsnet on with us yesterday. I hear all that. I said to him right after he was done talking that I'm largely in the same boat. You could also be like, what's $2 million a year with the cap going up? Are we really going to decide this like this?
Right.
So back and forth we go.
You want to go to 9.5, but you won't go to 10.5. What are we doing here exactly? There's also...
Make another hot dog of the day available.
Right. There's also the 7 versus 8 part of this. Like the Sabres, the way the CBA works, have the luxury of offering an 8th year. So, you know, just some loose math. Like if somebody out there, Seattle, say, I've seen him attached to Seattle. His wife is from Vancouver, the Vancouver area. So maybe that makes sense. Okay. They want to give him, the most they can do is 7 years. They want to do 7 for 11. Okay. That's $77 million. The Sabres can go 8 for 10 and exceed that. They can go 8 for 9.5 and get, I don't know, what is that close even? Like so the difference becomes so marginal because of that 8th year. If the player and the agent are hung up on the AAV because, I don't know, the pressure from the Players Association or something, then maybe that pushes you that way. But you can get closer on the money because of that 8th year here. That's a one benefit. I mean, that's why it's, I think, largely there, is to give the team that has the player currently the opportunity to keep him at a more reasonable cap figure, but still satisfy the whole sum of money, which is all guaranteed.
If you want to weigh in, 803-0550, wouldn't you want to have other people know how you feel about this? That's the way to do it. In the meantime, do you want some interesting NFL schedule nuggets? Are you in the mood for nuggets?
I'm always here for interesting NFL schedule nuggets.
NFL Nerd, my site for tracking the schedule, all the different rumors and such. Sales pointed out how, and others have pointed out, the Bills are playing all their NFC games at night. Not even just the four against the NFC North, Chicago, Detroit, Green Bay, and Minnesota, but also the Rams game, the additional game, all five of their games against the NFC are night games. That has never happened. It's never even been four where a team has played four out-of-conference games in prime time. Now, there are more primetime games all the time, so always you want to adjust for that.
Right.
But it's true that the Bills are playing, well, scheduled to play all five of their NFC games at night and none of their AFC East games, and playing as many as four, in this case five, games against the other conference in primetime is an NFL first. The Ravens are here week 8.
Okay.
That's their first game against a team that finished last year above 500. Their first 7 games.
Baltimore's first game.
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
the Ravens' first right. 7 games. I mean, the Bills are only playing good teams, it seems.
Right.
That's
right.
And the Dolphins and the Jets.
Right.
The Ravens' first 7 games are all against teams that had losing records last year. Nobody finishes 500 anymore. So you're never 500. You're going to be above or below unless you had a tie. Only twice since 1983 has a team started with as many as 7 games in a row against teams that had been losers the year before. Baltimore is the third. One more would be
there was only Pittsburgh had a winning record in that division, right? The Bengals,
yes.
Right? So that helps a lot. I don't know if they're playing them early.
No, they play them twice late.
Okay.
Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, we're in it together. Every Friday brings you a new story. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
14-7 or 15-18 are their Pittsburgh games.
And if the other teams in the division are in that first seven, they qualify as under 500, obviously.
And they both are.
Yeah.
Okay. Indianapolis, New Orleans, Dallas, Tennessee, Atlanta, Cleveland, Cincinnati are their first seven games. And that Dallas game, as we were talking about earlier in the day, is not a night game or even a morning game. That's the game in Rio. Week three, it's the Ravens and Cowboys from Brazil. And that'll be a 4:25 Sunday game, which makes me wonder if there will be any other 4:25 games.
Right.
International games
like
in
to
that
make
slot.
That like a standalone. Yeah, right.
One more quickly is that the Packers and Seahawks are both scheduled to host five night games. Host.
Wow.
And one of Green Bay's is against the Bills on Christmas, right?
No, that's not Christmas.
No. It's around Christmas, but it's not Denver's Christmas.
It is the week. It's 2 weeks before. It's the 13th. It's week 14.
Green Bay and Seattle each have five night games at home. And the only other team that has done that is the 08 Chargers, which had a flex. So it wasn't even scheduled. So this is like a record, too. Five home night games? The Bills have
three.
Detroit, Kansas City.
Chicago.
And none of which is a Sunday night.
Right.
Chicago's a Saturday.
Saturday night, yeah.
So, a few little nuggets there. Let's go to Joe here. Hi, Joe.
How are you?
Good, Joe. Thanks for calling us.
Good. You know, why can't we pay Tuck? We can't pay Tuck because we're still paying Skinner. You know, there's $6 million that is still owed to Skinner this coming season, and that's why we can't pay Tuck. That's the thing that scares me about paying Alex Tuck and giving him an 8-year contract. I mean, we don't know if somebody's going to offer sheet Benson. I mean, in some of these other players, I mean, you want to sign Benson. I mean, I wouldn't say he's one of these other people that, you know, Bulldog, that you're saying that they're not proven, and I'd rather sign somebody that's proven, you know, where I just think I'm hoping that Yarmo can find a way to, you know, trade Josh Norris and get $7 million, you know, our highest paid forward.
Me too.
Who doesn't play like our highest paid forward? I mean, so there's just so many things that play into it, and the whole thing is just back, you know, years ago when we talk about Briere and Drury, I mean, they weren't spending up to the cap, and it's like Galassano just wasn't paying the money. You know, he had to make money on the team, and it's just a whole different situation now because, you know, hopefully now Terry is going to pay to the cap. They haven't been doing that, and they're just in a really tough situation because the cap is where it is. And even though it's going to go up, you know, even if it were next year at this time when that $6 million figure came off, you'd be in a different place. So I just hope that Yarmo can come up with a way to come up with the money to kind of keep everybody happy and sign the kids as well. But the whole thing is the length of the deal. You know, 8 years when somebody's 30, you know, if the last 3 years you're paying somebody $10 million a year when they're not playing anywhere near, you know, where they were, and yet he was a leader, just, you know, and I just think the same thing where, you know, Benson, if I were another team, I'd offer sheet him. I mean, God, who doesn't want him? You know, but you got to find a way to pay him. And I don't think he's going to want to take a bridge.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah, Benson is, just to be clear, like to me, even though I'm saying kids, like he's in a separate, I even made sure to differentiate when talking about trade pieces. Like he's over there. Like that's not, you're not, you are signing him to something this offseason. Like the second or third time the offer sheet thing has come up. And I guess it should be, I mean, you got to go back a long time to for the scar tissue that I'm even referring to. It's Drury and Briere. And that same summer, they did get offer sheeted on Vanek when they appeared to be vulnerable. So if they appear vulnerable, maybe some team will want to come after Benson. I just think it's going to take an outrageous offer to not get matched. And like, what are you really accomplishing? You know, which, again, it doesn't mean somebody can't do it and push his figure up, you know, ridiculously high. I just think it's a little soon. Like, you're talking about him like he's like the rookie of the year and he scored 80 points or something. He's not Macklin Celebrini. He had 43 points. He's a nice little dirtball player. I love him. I want him to be on this team for as long as I'm alive, okay? But, like, he's not – somebody's not coming in with $12 million a year for him. I mean, it's just not – that would be insane.
You don't quite want Benson on a lifetime contract. You want him on a your lifetime contract.
Right, right. That might work out pretty well that for might. Everyone. I mean, I
just, hate to speculate.
I don't want to.
We don't want to put numbers on
what's
that.
What's the max? 8 years? Oh, geez.
You've got that.
I really sign up for that. So, look, I hear you. And of course, the thing you're trying to avoid is, yeah, a repeat of, you know, oh, this guy fell off a cliff, and I've still got 4 years of this left. I think right now you'd have to sign him. If you were to sign him 8 years, $80 million, I think you would go into that with your eye. You'd be irresponsible if your eyes weren't wide open to the idea that you're hoping for 4 good years. Give me 4 good years. And then I'll just, I'll figure it out. Like, the Sabres managed to have this incredible season with $6 million on their cap this year. For Jeff Skinner, who didn't play a single minute for them. So, like, you can find a way around it. You can also, you know, do what Vegas does and just, Alex, he's hurt.
He's hurt all year.
He's hurt. Long-term IR. Like, there's just, to me, that's not enough of a deterrent, a contract that went bad. But the reality is, you're not getting 8 peak years. And you just have to decide whether that equation works for you or not.
Let's get to Randy here. Hi, Randy.
Hey, gentlemen, Bulldog, I got to say first, I also work midnights, and there's not a more terrifying sound than hearing a lawnmower at 10 a.m. So if your wife is able to sleep through that, God bless her. That is a superpower. That's awesome. But, guys, I did want to weigh in on this whole Alex Tuch situation. I will admit I'm a bandwagon fan. I haven't watched hockey in 15 years, but this kind of reminds me of 2007, and correct me if I'm remembering it wrong, but I remember at the end of the 07 season, they were definitely going to lose Jury or Briere. It was going to be one of the two, and then when they come to find out we lose both of them, I think it kind of changed the landscape of the franchise, at least, you know, from a fan base perspective. We were all, you know, we were pretty upset about the whole situation, and given how much success they had with Tuch this year, I don't know, it would be real sad to see him leave. So, I don't know. Hopefully if you think there's a way they can keep him, I'd love to hear it.
Okay, there is. That's been talked about. If he has a number he would sign for, then you offer him that.
Right.
Mike Schoep and the Bulldog back after this timeout here on WGR.
Hey, y'all, I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together, we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one. So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcast. Reality
Gaze, let's love.